Good morning and welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service once again centers around discipleship. A large part of discipleship, being a disciple of Jesus, is giving service to others and not expecting anything in return. And Jesus gives us the ultimate example of this by himself going to the cross. We begin this morning with Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. Keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. Come quickly to help me. Give glory to God, our light and our life, and the Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Let us worship him. We pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom. You leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn now to reflect on God's grace in our lives. The first lesson is the Old Testament lesson from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 18. In God we trust. Jeremiah writes, because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it, for at that time he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. This is God's word, and we also read from our epistle lesson for today. True wisdom is found where? We'll read it from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This is God's word. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. We then turn to our message for today from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9. And our focus today will be on verses 30 to 37. Dear friends in Christ, last year, the average salary for Arizona police officer was $57,000. For the NBA player, the National Basketball Association player, the average salary was $7.7 million a year. Upside down. Last year, Dwayne Johnson, he's The Rock, he's a movie star, he pulled down $88 million. What did the average fireman pull down? Oh, about $47,000. Topsy-turvy. From how we pay people, to how we view people, to how we treat people, we live in an upside-down world. We argue about who is the greatest. We give little thought to the least. We put the first first, the last last. That's just the way it is in this world of ours. But that is not the way it is in the world of God, in the kingdom of Christ. We'll turn to our text now, from Mark chapter 9. They, Jesus and his disciples, left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is God's word. In Christ's kingdom, the only kingdom that really matters, everything is upside down. The least are the greatest. The last are the first. Who's the greatest? We argue about that all the time. Whether it's who's the greatest president of all time, who's the greatest athlete, baseball player, football player, basketball player, we argue about who is the greatest. So it should not surprise us that Jesus' disciples got caught up in this argument. We read they left the place, passed through Galilee, they came to Capernaum. When Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. What caused them to be arguing about who's the greatest? Well, maybe it had something to do with an event that is recorded earlier in this chapter. The event was Jesus taking three of his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were picked to go along with Jesus. And Jesus told them not to say anything, but do you think the others might have felt slighted? If someone is able to do something cool, something you're not part of, and then you see them huddled together, maybe even appearing to be a little smug about it, you think it would bring about a reaction from you? We don't know why it happened, but we do know it did happen. They were arguing about who was the greatest. The Apostle Peter could have said, "Hey, it's obvious I'm the leader. After all, I was the first one to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah." And then Andrew would say, "Hey, wait a minute, brother. If it wasn't for me introducing you to Jesus, you'd still be out in the fishing boat." James and John were the sons of thunder, natural-born leaders. And then there's Judas, and he could have chimed in and said, "Hey, what about me? Jesus trusts me to take care of the money." Well, while they were arguing about who was the greatest, they missed out on the true meaning of the greatest story ever told. Verse 31, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." The greatest story ever told is the gospel story. It's a story about Jesus going from the greatest to the least. Jesus was the Son of God living in heaven, and Jesus became the Son of Man living on earth. Jesus was sinless, and he took our sin. He suffered the guilt and the death that we deserved because of our sins. Jesus gave us forgiveness, new life, and salvation. And that's what Jesus told his disciples, and they didn't hear a word of it. Verse 32, they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Why would the disciples be afraid to ask Jesus about what he said? Because they were not listening to him. They were so caught up in themselves, debating which of them was the greatest, that they missed the greatest story ever told. His life, death, and resurrection. Many years ago, the London tabloids printed some gossip about a famous painter and a famous writer. The two were James Whistler and Oscar Wilde. The paper reported, "The two were seen yesterday at Brighton talking as usual about themselves." Well, as a result of that article, the two of them, James and Oscar, began a battle of telegrams. Wilde wrote with pleasure, "When you and I are together, James, we never talk about anything except ourselves." Well, Whistler responded, says, "Oh, no, no, Oscar, you forget. When you and I are together, we never talk about anything except me." Now that captures the essence of so many. Life is all about me. We may not claim to be the greatest, but we do think, live, and act as if life is all about me. Our sinful nature needs to hear that so that we're aware of it. But most of all, our new man wants to hear this. My life is all about grace. My life is all about Jesus and what he's done for me. It's quite simple. Jesus has done everything. He has made me great. He's made me a child of God and an heir of heaven. As Christians, we live in an upside-down world. The least are the greatest. The last are the first. How many of you like to win? And be honest with that. We live in a very competitive world. That's the nature of our society. I don't know if you're interested in golf at all, but they're playing the Ryder Cup this weekend in Wisconsin. They're not playing just for the fun of it. Everyone is wanting to win. Americans, Europeans, the fans, they want to win. Why are they playing football games this weekend? Just for some exercise? No, they're playing to win. And that extends to every aspect of our lives. Winners get the praise. Winners get the promotion. Winners get pampered. Paul Hornung was a great Green Bay Packer running back. He was known as the Golden Boy. He played football at Notre Dame. They wore the gold helmets, and also he had blonde hair. And he went through life, he said, on a scholarship. What he meant by that is that everything in his life was handed to him. He went through life being served. Jesus understood his disciples then and today could fall into that same selfish trap, and so he called a powwow. Verse 35, sitting down, Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." What Jesus is really saying is this: go to the back of the line. Christians are servants. The prophet Isaiah referred to Jesus as the suffering servant. And Jesus, about himself, said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Why did Jesus live a perfect life and then die on the cross? It's a two-part answer. The explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed puts it perfectly. "All this he did that I should be his own, live under him, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness." That we would live with him and serve him. Jesus took a little child in his arms. He said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." Jesus used a little child as an example. Why? It's because children really can't do anything for adults. A child can't add to your success. A child doesn't make you more important. One of our most well-known presidents, John Kennedy, in his inaugural address, spoke this famous passage, now etched on a stone at his gravesite. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. President Kennedy wasn't speaking to just young Americans or just old Americans. He was speaking to all Americans. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the last and the servant of all. Jesus wasn't speaking to just young Christians or to just old Christians. He was speaking to all Christians. Age plays no part in serving. You can't say, I'm young and I have no time. You can't say, I'm old and I did my time. It's not about time. It's about service. It's not what you have done. It's what you are doing. It's not about someone else. It's about you. It's not about doing my part. It's about doing what I do in thankfulness and gratefulness to Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about I can't do it. It's about I can do it because Christ lives in me and strengthens my faith with his gospel. The cobbler had a dream that Jesus would visit him the next day. The dream was so very real that cobbler waited for Jesus' visit. He waited all morning, but the only visitor was an old man whose shoes had worn through. The cobbler gave him a new pair. He waited all afternoon, but the only visitor was a lady down on her luck. The cobbler gave her a meal and some money and sent her on her way. As the day turned to dusk, he heard a child crying outside his door. He soothed the child and took him home. When he returned, the cobbler was convinced that he had missed Jesus. He cried, "Why, Jesus, why have you forgotten? You promised to visit me." He heard the soft reply, "Lift your heart, I have kept my word. 3 times I came to your friendly door. 3 times my shadow was on your floor. I was the man with the battered feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the child lost in the street." It's just a story. Yes, it's just a story. But it is a story that captures well the essence of Jesus' words. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, the servant of all. That is Christianity. The least are the greatest, and the last are the first. My friends, we are redeemed to serve. We are empowered to serve. Thank God we live in an upside-down world. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray, O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And Lord, in all that we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. We ask this in our Savior Jesus' name, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear Christians, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be and abide with each and every one of you. Amen. God bless you. and God keep you safe. Until next week, God be with you. Amen.